Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Macrofield Free Presbyterian Church Youth Fellowship's online gospel mission. This is our first evening of a broadcast, and we thank you for joining with us, and we hope that you'll join with us every night this week between now and Friday at 8 p.m. on the church Facebook page or on Sermon Audio Live. Tonight, we have Rachel McBride, who'll be bringing a word of testimony, Johnny Mitchell, who will be singing, and the Reverend McMillan, minister of our church in Armagh, will be preaching.
Hi, my name's Rachel, and I'm just going to bring a short word of testimony. So I was brought up in a Christian home. Both my parents were saved. My sister and I were sent along faithfully to Sunday school, children's meetings, church, every single week. So from a young age, I knew the gospel, and I knew that I needed to be saved. And when I was young, it felt like everyone around me was already saved, and so it felt like I needed to be saved as well. So I made a profession from a very young age, from about the age of 5. I remember praying to the Lord and asking that he would take away my sins, because that's what I had been taught in Sunday school. But I don't think I fully understood what it meant to be a Christian at that stage in my life. My life didn't really change from that point on. I didn't read my Bible or pray daily, and I just kept going the way I was going. As I got older and moved through primary school and secondary school, I started to notice a big difference between me and my other Christian friends who were walking with the Lord, and it finally clicked with me that I wasn't walking the way I should be walking with the Lord, and I just wasn't living the life of a true Christian. And when I was 16, it was around the time I started to help at the Holiday Bible Clubs in church. The Lord spoke to me, and I felt really convicted of my sin. I just knew I wasn't walking right with the Lord. I knew I couldn't go on anymore, going the way I was going, and I knew I definitely couldn't evangelize to the children in church the way my life was. And I wasn't sure whether to ask for forgiveness of sins, forgiveness for backsliding, or to ask for salvation. But I prayed that the Lord would do what needed to be done in my life. And I thank him that he came into my heart and made a change that day. And I've had assurance of salvation from then on. And the Lord has been very good to me in my life. He's given me opportunities to serve him in youth fellowship and in children's work. He's also opened the door for me to go to university. And there I've met some really good Christian friends who have blessed me and been an encouragement to me in my Christian walk. And finally, the prayer for my life is that the Lord would lead and guide me, and that I would know his will for my life. And if anyone was in the same position that I was in, and they're not walking right with the Lord, I urge you to get right with him now, and he will forgive you. And it's only when you're close to him that he can really use you for his service. And so I just want to finish with the words of this verse. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Cross where my Savior died, done where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. Now to my heart is the blood. Jesus so sweetly abides within, here at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name, glory to his name, glory to his name. Now to my heart is the blood applied. Glory to to this far, den so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name.
Everyone, my name is David McMillan. I want to give the Macrofelt Youth Fellowship a sincere word of thanks for inviting me to be a part of their special youth mission. It is a great privilege, and we want to commend them in the vision that they have to organise this mission and all the work that they've put into it by way of preparation. There's just one verse of scripture I want to direct your thoughts, your attention to this evening. In James chapter 4 and the verse 14, let me just read that verse to you. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Let's just take a moment to seek the Lord in prayer, to cry to him for his help. Father, we seek thee in prayer. We call upon thee. We need your help this evening. We want to pray the blessing of God down upon this mission and upon these broadcasts. We pray that you'll fill us with thy Spirit. We ask that your word will go forth with power, and especially to the saving of the lost. Hear these, our cries and our prayers. We offer them to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. The part of the verse especially that I want you to think of is the question that's found in the middle of the verse. For what is your life? The theme of this message is, what is life really all about? If you think of that question that's found in our text, what is your life? That's a very good question. I want to encourage you for a few minutes to ponder it very carefully. I want to ask you tonight personally, what is life for you? What is your life all about? What is your life taken up with? What is it devoted to? What is your life focused upon? Can I stress to you that life is a precious gift that comes from the hand of God? Paul says that he giveth to all life and breath and all things. It's very good to remember that. He gave you the life that you have. And that's something that you should continually praise the Lord for. And remember that at very best, life is short. Our text reminds us of that great truth, that you're only here for a little time. You don't have long upon this earth. And I want to urge you to take that in. I want to encourage you to take that great truth to heart. What that means is that you need to be wise. You need to be very careful how you use that little time that God has blessed you with. So young people, let me underline for you. It's a very important thing to consider your life, especially in the light of the fact that your life can end so quickly. And we want to do that for a very short time in the meeting this evening. The sad reality is that many people, many young people, make mistakes. They make great mistakes about the purpose of life. They make great mistakes about what life is really for and what life is really all about. And maybe you're one of those people. Maybe you have the wrong estimate about life. Maybe it's true to say that you're living life all wrong. Well, what I'd like to do just for a few minutes is list for you the main mistakes that people make about life. The first matter that I'll mention is this. Some people think that life is all about things. You all know the little expression, the things of life. And many people live just for things, for what they own, what they possess, what they can amass. And maybe you're like that. You think that life is all about obtaining and owning things. You think that the more possessions a person has, then the more successful their life is. You judge the success of life by what you have. Well, that's a common mistake. But I want you to know tonight how wrong you are. The Savior warned very clearly, a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. The message is very clear. Things, temporal possessions, are not the most important matter in life. Things shouldn't have priority in your life. And yet, many live as if there was nothing else to life. Do you remember the rich young ruler? The Savior told him, sell all that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. But he couldn't. And the reason that he couldn't was because money was his God. Money was his idol. And maybe you're just like that. And as you think of all that you own, I want you to ask yourself for a moment this vital question. What will happen to all the things that you have? What is going to happen to all the things that you possess? Just consider that. Let me mention some answers to that question. Answers not that are given by me, answers given not by the church or by the government, but answers that are given by God Himself in His Word. For one thing, everything that you have, everything that you possess, it's going to decay. It's going to wear out. It's going to wear away. The Savior warned, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Notice he's speaking there about treasures. That's the things that you value, the things that you value. And all of those things, he teaches us, are going to end in dust or rust. And I pray that you'll see that as never before. One day they'll just be rubbish. They'll just be junk. Remember that all the things of this world are temporal. There's none of them that lasts forever. Another answer to the question, what's going to happen to all the things that you have, is they're going to be left behind. Remember that you won't take them with you. Think of the well-known statement, there's no trailer on a hearse. Paul said to young Timothy, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. Notice the word nothing or no thing. You see how relevant this verse of Scripture is to what we're considering together this evening? There's not one thing that you have. There's not one thing that you own that you're going to take with you from this world whenever you die. They will all, think of the breadth of that, they're all going to be left behind. Another answer to the question, what will happen to all that you have, is they're going to be destroyed. Remember that God once destroyed this world with water. He did that in the days of Noah's flood. But there's coming a day, young people, when he will destroy this world again, this time by fire. Do you remember what Peter said? The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. Notice again, all these things. The Bible has much to say about things, about the things of life. God created this world, but there's a day coming when he's going to cremate it and everything that is within it. So young people, you need to see that it's a mistake. It's a very serious mistake to live your life only for things. There's another mistake that some people think, and that is that life is all about thrills. There's an old gospel hymn that says, as you hurry along in the pleasure-mad throng. And I wonder, does that describe you? Does that describe the way that you live, the company that you keep? It's just a pleasure-mad throng. Life is all about pleasure. It's all about excitement. Life is all about fun and about thrills. For you, life is just one big party from beginning to end. And you never want the party to end. You live for the weekend. Live for the pub and the club, the drink and the dance and the drugs, the lusts of the flesh, the thrills of life. But yet, you would have to admit, if you're really honest, that it doesn't matter what you do, and it doesn't matter where you go, it doesn't matter how often you do it, you're never really happy, and you're never really satisfied. There's still that great emptiness, there's still that great vacuum, that great void in your life. I wonder, are you like that? You've tried everything, everything that life, everything that the world has to offer. Then you did it more, you did it again in a far greater measure, but it only brought you greater disappointment. Let me tell you, young person, why that is. It's because the thrills of sin don't last. The thrills of sin are transient. They're fleeting. They're shallow. You think of what the Bible says about Moses in the book of Hebrews. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now just take that in. Take it to heart. There is pleasure in sin. Of that there is no doubt. It cannot be denied. But it's only for a season. The pleasures of sin don't last. There is another old gospel hymn that says, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. And how true that is for every Christian, for every child of God. The reality is that real joy, real happiness can only be found in Christ. He gives joy unspeakable. In other words, a joy that cannot be adequately and fully described. You think of what the psalmist said, in thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Now just think of that. The fullness of joy. Lasting pleasure. And we want you to know, it's only to be found in Christ. It's only to be found in being with Christ for all eternity. And we want to ask you personally in this broadcast, will you receive him? Will you receive him today as your Savior? The final mistake that I'll mention that some people make is this. They think that life is all about theories. The lives of many people today are taken up with theories. Their life is absorbed with the theories of men and all that they are. Theories like communism, atheism, environmentalism. It's all the isms and fads and philosophies of the shallow day in which we live. They run after all the notions of men about health and wealth and the life hereafter. There's a great explosion today in what can be called conspiracy theories. Who killed JFK? Who blew up the Twin Towers? Is Elvis Presley really dead? Did Neil Armstrong really stand on the moon? There's all sorts of conspiracy theories that are abroad. I wonder, is your life taken up with such things, with such theories? Listening to, reading, studying, promoting all sorts of theories? If it is, then let me warn you this evening. Let me warn you that theories are the weapons of the devil. Do you know what theories will do? Theories will take you to hell. Theories will damn your soul. Let me tell you what you need most of all, what you need to listen to, what you need to devote your time to, is not theories, but it's truth. It's God's truth. And remember that you only find God's truth in the Bible, in the Scriptures. The Savior said during his earthly ministry, thy word is truth. This book is not theory. It's not guesswork. It's not fiction. It's not make-believe. It is truth. It is the message of him who is the truth. And that's why you need to read the Bible. We want to encourage you to do that. Read the Bible regularly. Read the Bible carefully. come along to the house of God. Come along to the church here in Macrofelt and sit faithfully, or sit under the faithful preaching of the Word of God. Let me make it clear to you that the Bible is the greatest book on earth. That's the reason why it's the most attacked book on earth. This book, the Bible, can do something for you that no other book can do. That's the reason why it's so precious. That's the reason why it is so valuable. You ask me, what can the Bible do that no other book can do? It can do this. It can show you the way to heaven. It can show you the way to experience God's so great salvation. You remember what Paul said to young Timothy? That the Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. The Bible can give you the greatest knowledge that any person can have in this life. The Bible can give you the greatest education. Through this book, you can get to know Christ, the one who is the Son of God. Through this book, you can get to know the joy, no greater joy than the joy of sins forgiven. John said in his first epistle, these things are written that ye might know that ye have eternal life. You know, often the question is asked, how do you know that the Bible's really true? I wonder, have you ever asked that question yourself? Maybe you've been asked that question by someone else. Maybe you're asking that question even as you listen to this message. How do you know that the Bible is really true? Well, there's a simple answer to that question. If you want to know if anything is true, then what you do is you put it to the test. And what you need to do is put the Bible, put the Word of God to the test. And you can do that now, right now. You can do it today. You can do it even as you're listening to this message. The Bible says, if you repent and believe the gospel, in other words, if you turn from your sins and trust Christ as your Savior, then your life will be changed. Your sins will be forgiven. You'll be saved from a lost eternity. You'll have peace in your heart and in your life. So I put the challenge to you. If you really, truthfully, genuinely, sincerely want to know that the message of this Bible is true, that it is the truth of God, then that's what you need to do. Put the Bible to the test. Confess your sins and come and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And what you will find is that you will be a new creature. Your life will be changed. Your life will be changed completely, and your life will be changed forever. So just in closing, let me ask you again, what is your life? Can it be summed up with one of these areas that we have mentioned, that we've emphasized? The things? Is your life taken up with things? Is your life taken up with thrills? Your life taken up with theories? Let me stress again, these things are all a false estimate of what life is all about and how life should be lived. If any of these things is what you're seeking to live for, if any of these things is what you're spending your time, your energy, your talents on, then we want you to know, we want you to see, that's the reason why that your life is so empty. It's the reason why your life is so futile. Your life has no meaning. Your life is so meaningless. Remember, you'll never find real life. You'll never find the real purpose for life until you find it in Jesus Christ, until you come to Jesus Christ and live your life entirely for Him. And that's what we want to urge you to do now. That's what we want to urge you to do at the close of this meeting. That's what we want to urge you to do every night of this special gospel outreach, this special gospel mission. Remember that Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. I wonder, can you say that? Remember, He is the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So what that means is to find life, to find real life, real, lasting, satisfying life, you need to find Christ. You need to come to Him and experience His so great salvation. So think of the text. What is your life? That's a good question. In fact, men and women, young people, that's a vital question for each one of us to consider. It's a vital question for you to consider at this special gospel mission. And I pray the Lord will write it upon your heart. What is life? What is your life really all about? I pray the Lord will bless his word to your heart and speak through it, even to the saving of your soul.
Thank you, everyone, for joining with us on our opening broadcast. And can we thank Rachel and Johnny as well for testifying and singing for us. We look forward to seeing you again tomorrow night, Tuesday night at 8 p.m. And we will be live again on the church Facebook page or on Sermon Audio Live. So we look forward to seeing you again then.